Luke chapter 19 is where we're going this morning. Y'all excited to be here? I am too. I pulled an old man deal yesterday. And it was bad enough. I got up in the morning and weather changed and storms coming in. I have those aches and pains anyway. And I don't have any cartilage in my left ankle, so on the weekends, I typically wear a brace because it helps relieve the pain. And I was hurting pretty bad yesterday morning, so I went and got my brace, and I'm in the, nobody else is up yet, and I'm putting it on, and as I reach down to lace my brace up, my shoulder decided to go south and leave me behind, and so I was in excruciating pain for about half a day yesterday, but this morning it's just, it's still attached. And it tells me it's still attached. So we're doing a little bit better. So it was definitely an instrument of Satan to try to get my mind off of the message today. But anyway, we're here, and we're thankful that God has blessed us with another day. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. We're going to start with reading the text. Jesus entered Jericho. He was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't. Anybody relate? Because of the crowd. So he ran on ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to do what? To seek and save that which was lost." Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. Y'all remember that? Sing it with me. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the master passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." It's funny how many different versions as that, but we all remember it. That's awesome. Man went for a physical checkup. A nurse asked him how much he weighed. And so he held his stomach in and he replied to her. He says, "I weigh 160 pounds. She got him on the scales, weighed him, and she says, "No, your weight is 166 pounds. The nurse then asked him how tall he was, and he stood up very straight. He answers, "I'm 5 feet 10 inches. The nurse measured him and said, "No, you're only 5'9". Then the nurse asked him what his normal blood pressure was. After he looked at her for a minute, he said, "How can you expect my blood pressure to be normal? I came in here a tall, slender man, and you've already made me short and fat." Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You know, that's kind of a mean song. But apparently we're very familiar with that song. And the impression you get from singing that song as a child, or singing it to children, you get from that an impression that Zacchaeus is a sweet little old man that basically all he had one basic problem, and that was he was too short to see Jesus. Except maybe Zacchaeus wasn't a nice old man. You know, as I look at this story, I have to ask myself, why is it in the Scriptures? Why did God see fit to put this in our Bible? There is something that happens in this story in Jesus' life something that is to impress on us an understanding, perhaps of human nature, perhaps of God Himself. Maybe it's to begin to understand ourselves just a little bit more. So we're going to spend some time talking about Zacchaeus. And the first thing that we're going to try to dive into here is to maybe discern a little bit more of the character challenges that Zacchaeus is facing in his life. Zacchaeus actually was probably one of the most hated men in the region of Jericho. You ever felt like you were hated in a circle? You just wanted to get out of there? That's why Zacchaeus, I believe, was facing every single day. And you might ask the question, well, why was he hated? Was it because he was so short? Do we hate short people? I hope not. I suspect the height was his problem. You ever met those guys that had what we call the small man syndrome? Maybe that was a problem, but it was a problem, I believe, because being short that way, it made it easier for others to make fun of him, to push him aside, to persecute him, or maybe even ignore him. And if you'll ignore the pun, or pardon the pun, as far as others were concerned, Zacchaeus just didn't measure up. His shortness, I believe, was at the start of his problems, perhaps, but it wasn't why he was disliked. The reason, I believe, that Zacchaeus was disliked is because he had an attitude problem. You see, I think Zacchaeus had become an angry and a bitter man because of the way people treated him. Because I have to ask myself the question, why else would a man take a job that had such a negative effect on his life? This man was a tax collector. Now, public sentiment towards tax collectors in Jesus' day was that they were the scum of the earth. They were what you would scrape off the bottom of your shoe. That's how esteemed they were in town. People didn't like them. In the Gospels, we're told no less than 8 times that people actually complained about Jesus because he went and ate with the tax collectors and sinners. As if there were sinners and then there was a special class of sinners called tax collectors. Twice in the Gospels, people were complaining of Jesus actually eating with tax collectors and harlots. Now, harlots were women who sold their virtue for money. And apparently, tax collectors were viewed as doing the same thing. So people didn't like a tax collector. And so why would he pick a job that had such stigma? Now, this is not like he worked for the IRS. Very few people in our day like IRS agents, but we usually don't hate them. We might not like who they represent or what they're here to do, but we don't necessarily hate them because they collect taxes that are necessary for the building of roads and the infrastructure and other national concerns, and we understand that. But by contrast, tax collectors of the day of Jesus weren't viewed just as tax collectors. They were viewed as traitors. Traitors. They had betrayed the people. They had betrayed their lineage. They had betrayed, in many times, their God. Zacchaeus didn't work for the nation of Israel. He didn't collect taxes for the Jews. He collected taxes for the Romans. And the Romans were a hated people. They were the occupiers of Israel. They were an arrogant and they were a cruel people. They were the ones that the Jews hated. And Zacchaeus had sold out to the Romans. You see, not only were tax collectors regarded as traitors among the Jewish circle, they were also seen as thieves. You see, the Romans exacted a tax from the Jews, which is bad enough. But at the end of the day, the Romans didn't pay their tax collectors. Tax collectors made their living by adding an additional percentage on top of the Roman tax. And they usually added whatever they thought the person could pay. Come to collect tax? Yeah, you're doing pretty good. I'm going to add another 10% on top. A savvy tax collector could make very good money without having to worry about being fair. You think he was liked in his community? You see, publicans or tax collectors were hated men. Now, what does it do to your psyche if every day you get out of bed and you look in the mirror and you remind yourself that everybody hates you? After a while, that kind of warps mentality, doesn't it? Kind of changes reality just a little bit. Take that mentality, but add this on top of it. On top of this, Zacchaeus' job required him to have constant contact with the Gentiles. He was constantly in connection with the Romans, who were Gentiles. And ultimately, that would make him ceremonially unclean under Jewish law. That meant that Zacchaeus could not go to the temple and offer sacrifices. He couldn't go to the temple and worship. You see, he was robbed because of this job that he had taken. He was robbed of his ability to worship God that we enjoy every single Sunday, right? We actually enjoy it every single day because worship doesn't end. It's a life that we live before God. But he didn't have that opportunity to go to church. Let's put it that way. So this life that he was living had effectively separated him not only from his people, but from his God. So Zacchaeus was cut off from his friends, from his family, from his identity as a Jew, and alienated from his God. And so you ask the question, why would Zacchaeus take a job like this? He would have to sign up for it. He wouldn't be forced into this. Why would he take this job? Well, looking at this whole picture, I had to think that he had reached a point in his life, in his thought process, that nobody cared about him anyway. And if nobody cares about me, then I don't care about them. That is a wall that people erect. People mistreated. They had rejected him all of his life because of his height. He was the last one picked on the softball team. And, he wasn't the one that they chose. And God obviously didn't care either. Because why else would God create him a short man, an object of ridicule? You see the thought process? How are you feeling about Zacchaeus now? You have a little pity for him? Dislike him a little bit, maybe? You wonder about life and how difficult it is sometimes? Well, let's go on. Number two, there's one thing about Zacchaeus that's interesting, because Zacchaeus, as bad as life was, he took comfort in his job. He really liked his job because the scripture tells us that he wasn't just a tax collector. What was he? He was a chief tax collector. You don't just happen to get into the chief role. He was the esteemed. He was the top dog. He was now a short man, yes, but now he was a big man. Because people feared him now. They may have loathed him and hated him before, but he made chief, and now they feared him. Because now Zacchaeus was a man of power. He was a man of influence, and he was rich. He was a rich man in part because he was much like all the other tax collectors in his day. Perhaps Zacchaeus, he got pushed around a lot because he was a little short guy when he was younger. Maybe he was making it a practice to specially gouge people that had mistreated him, and they couldn't do anything about it except pay up. Maybe he was in a lifestyle that was getting back for the pain that he had been caused. You just look at this picture and you can understand it from the eyes of Zacchaeus that now Zacchaeus had everything a man could possibly want. He had power, he had riches, he had control of his life, and he could control others' life now. When he was ridiculed and on the outcast, other people dictated how he could respond to certain situations because they would allow him or not allow him. But now he had control. And he'd built walls around himself that were designed to insulate himself from the insults and the indignities that he had endured from his past. But when you remove all the other stuff and you expose really what he was, he was still a short man that nobody liked. You see, the riches and the fact of doing well in his job didn't achieve what he wanted. You see, that's how I picture Zacchaeus. I picture him a lonely, isolated man who has everything except what he really wants. And we know everything except what he really needs. And then Jesus came to town. Now, Jesus had been preaching and teaching throughout Galilee. He'd been teaching throughout Samaria and Judea for the better part of 3 years at this point. And it's interesting to me that this is his first visit to Jericho. Now, Jesus is a famous person at this stage in his life. He had a reputation. Everyone wanted to see Jesus. Rumors have floated through town that this is the man who does miracles. He raises the dead. He feeds thousands. He heals the lame, the deaf, and the demon-possessed. And not only that, when this man speaks, he speaks like it's the voice of God himself. This is Jesus, and word has reached Zacchaeus about Jesus. And Zacchaeus, given his life, is just a little bit more than interested in this. Because there's something about Jesus that has touched a hidden chord in his soul. It's been rumored even that Jesus isn't particular about who you are or what you look like or what you have done. I mean, he hears that Jesus has eaten with tax collectors. You know what's really interesting to Zacchaeus is that he even heard said that one of the disciples had been a tax collector at one time. Maybe his name was Matthew or Levi or something like that. They even said, and this was a good one, that Jesus had told the chief priests that tax collectors would make it into heaven before they did. And that was a good one. That was in Matthew 21. Maybe, just maybe, this Jesus that was coming to Jericho could give Zacchaeus the acceptance that he has been craving all of his life. And this visit of Jesus to Jericho may be Zacchaeus' one and only chance to find out. Remember, Jesus hasn't been there before. And he's coming to town. This might be it. He might not come around for a long time. So Zacchaeus rushes to the street, but a short guy can't get through. They won't let him through. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants him here. And you can almost see the wall of people closing in and blocking him off. And a little short guy like me is in the back. He's jumping and he can't see. What's a guy going to do? And then he sees the tree. That tree is off by itself. It's away from the crowd. It's away from maybe even the path that Jesus might go down. But it might give Zacchaeus just enough leverage to be able to get up just high enough that he can see Jesus from a distance. And so he runs. And he runs to that tree. Now, sycamore trees of that region were fig trees with wide branches that sprouted from the trunk, close to the ground. The only kind I can climb anymore. They were easy, even for the children to climb. And there's nobody in that tree. So he climbs up. And he waits to see what he can see. Then the story starts getting good. And here comes Jesus. The people are crowding around Jesus. They're trying to get his attention. They're touching his clothes. They're calling his name. And the gentle, kindly man that Jesus is, Jesus slowly makes his way through the crowd, and he speaks to the people as he passes. And Jesus comes. He comes to the base of that tree, and he stops. And he looks up. Right at Zacchaeus. And then he says his name. And he calls out to him. He says, Zacchaeus. Like he was his friend. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I want to go and eat lunch with you. Jesus had just spoke to him. All his life he'd been rejected by men. All of his life he had felt like he had to compete. He had to fight for a place in society. All of his life he felt like he had to bite and claw and scrape his way to the front of the line. And here's Jesus he'd never met before. And Jesus knew his name. And Jesus wanted to come to his house. Jesus had done something that nobody had ever done. Jesus accepted him for who he was. I can imagine the excitement as Zacchaeus bails out of that tree, perhaps snapping branches on his way down. He rushes to his house and he orders his servants to prepare the meal, and he oversees every detail of the preparations, and then he turns and there's Jesus at his door. And I'm reminded of a passage. It's not in the slides because the Lord reminded me of that this morning as I was going back through this message. And I just can't help but think that this passage epitomizes the life of Zacchaeus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. As Jesus is giving the message to John, to the church in Laodicea, in verse 14, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Now here's the conditions. Jesus is saying they're not on fire for him, but they're not completely done with him, but they're just kind of sitting there. He's not very happy with them. But verse 17, here's the situation. You say, I'm rich. They're regarding themselves as being rich. They're regarding themselves as having acquired wealth and are not needing anything. But Jesus says, you don't realize that you are wretched. You're pitiful. You're poor. You're blind. You're naked. And I'm counseling you to buy from me, Jesus, gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich. What was Zacchaeus? Rich by worldly standards, and yet poor when it came to a relationship with Jesus. Poor in the scheme of things. Jesus says, look, buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich. And white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness. And salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be earnest and repent. Here it is. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Zacchaeus, I want to do lunch with you. What is Jesus saying? Zacchaeus, I am what you're looking for. I want to fulfill your needs in your life. And I am going to come dine with you and you with me. Starting a relationship. Starting an intimate sharing, a fellowship happening between a man who knew he didn't have anything and yet he needed something. This is probably the first time for a long time that anyone has wanted to eat at his house. And then, as the story goes, the whole concept of it just kind of struck Zacchaeus as he understood the poverty of his soul. And so he cries out, Lord, here and now, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'm going to pay back four times the amount. Four times the amount. Now, according to the law, a thief was required to not only return the stolen goods, but to repay an additional 20% of the value of that which was stolen. But here Zacchaeus says he was not only willing to pay back what he had taken, but he was willing to add an additional 300% on top of that. Because he recognized that when Jesus comes to town, reality changes. Impressed by his repentance, Jesus told him, today, salvation has come to this house. What does the story of Zacchaeus tell us? It tells us that there are people that are hurting in this world. And they are often men and women that behave in ways that aren't particularly endearing to us. It may make them very difficult to deal with. They don't come to us with the cute puppy dog types with the soft eyes and the proclaiming that, why don't you just take me home? They come to us as difficult people. They're rough people many times. They're hard-edged. They're rude people. And they'll take you in a business deal or they'll rip you off when you're not looking. But you know the reality is, inside, they're little people who've built big walls around themselves to make them look big. Walls that many times are laced with barbed wire. And it's hard to get past those barbs to get to the truth of the matter. They're often not nice people. But the reality is that most of them know that being like the way they are isn't right, and that but that's really the best they can do because of the hurts they've endured in life. And they're afraid of hurt more. And this is the protection that has represented comfort to them to build these walls that it's the only way they know how to survive. That is, until Jesus comes. This is what Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11. He says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. And then there's a big but in Scripture. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were set apart. And you were justified. You were forgiven in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see, when Jesus shows up, things change, right? Praise God. That one phrase, and that is what some of you were. That's where we are. Except for the grace of God, go I. One last thing. Jesus came looking for Zacchaeus. You see, Jesus knew where Zacchaeus lived. And he knew the turmoil in Zacchaeus' heart before he ever got to Jericho. Jesus had never been to Jericho before, but when he got there, he walked right up to the tree. And he called Zacchaeus by name. I like the way the NIV puts it. I'm just going to read it again. Zacchaeus ran ahead where they were at. He climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. And I like how NIV puts it. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up. He knew where he was going. And he knew who was there. And as far as we can tell, this is the only thing that Jesus did in Jericho. Jesus came to Jericho for one person. Zacchaeus. He came to make a difference in the life of a man who was small, who was petty, and who was bitter. Here's my question. If Jesus would go to all the trouble for a man like Zacchaeus, wouldn't he do the same for your life? Another thought. For those of us that have experienced new life in Jesus already, we've met Him in the washing. We've been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We've been justified, forgiven by the blood of Christ. And we're walking in a relationship with God now. We know what change happens when Jesus comes to town. Here's my question. For those of us that have that experience, wouldn't Jesus want us to extend the same opportunity of life to the Zacchaeuses that are around us? Wouldn't He want us to stop and think that on the other side of all those fences, there's a heart that God loves? Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him. And say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. To listen to the voice of God. And so when that prompting comes and you hear it, let me urge you, reach out in the name of Jesus and let Him use you to bring His light to town for that person that's struggling. Let's stand together as we sing a song.